Welcome, dumbheads, to MDC, Mega Dumbcast. In this podcast, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Ninjas and Super Spies to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is the revised Ninjas and Super Spies 7th printing from May 2000. Today we're discussing page 76 of Ninjas and Super Spies. This page contains some notes for the table we talked about last time, and it contains a table describing the cost to give different subsonic speeds to different kinds of air vehicles. It's just as exciting as it sounds, but please bear with me. And, you know, this episode, this is for the true aficionado. This is for the discriminating fan of terrible game design, because this page, and I do not exaggerate, contains precisely the wrong content. It's subtle, but I find it hilarious. You gotta listen to this page like jazz. It's all about the notes they don't play. So the first table column that this page describes is the speed column. It tells us that the speed attributes listed for vehicles are just the same as character speed attributes. It reiterates that a character with a speed of 22 can go 15 miles per hour, which is something amply established elsewhere. It then tells us, quote, the land vehicle maximum is 880, which is 600 miles per hour, or near the speed of sound, 670 miles per hour. This is not helpful because the land speed maximum is already established as 880 on the table. The fact that 600 miles per hour is also on the table, what does not appear on the table is the speed of sound, 670 miles per hour, which is fine because that is not in fact the speed of sound. So this note is redundant, and wrong in that order. The next column noted is maximum. Quote, the vehicle's absolute maximum speed. Because this is pushing the machine to its limits, there must be a roll on the breakdown table for every 12 miles driven. Note that these speeds are impossible without excellent roads. Now these notes explicitly apply to all the tables, including a lot of tables like the ones on this page and the last page that don't contain any ground vehicles at all. So I guess this is true of aircraft as well, even though they don't really drive on roads. But the salient thing here, the point to remember, is that when you go maximum speed, which is a value meticulously defined for every speed class for every kind of vehicle in this game, the danger of going maximum speed is that you may be forced, every 12 miles, to roll on the breakdown table. What does not appear on this page or anywhere in this book is said breakdown table. If only they had had space. If only they had been able to find something to cut from this page, they would have been able to fit it in right here where it would make a lot of sense. But no. So maximum speed is dangerous indeed, because what will happen if you try to push your vehicle all the way to its max is that you will end up having to dig through this goddamn rulebook in the middle of your session trying to find this vital information that is presented nowhere. Much better to stick to cruising speed. Speaking of which, that is the entry under this. Cruise. Safe speed for extended travel, given good roads. The vehicle should be able to drive indefinitely at cruising speed. Given that there are no rules for the consequences of driving above cruising speed, I don't see any reason to obey this arbitrary limit at all. Hey, you know what would have been useful on this page? Some kind of breakdown table that would be triggered from time to time if you regularly exceed cruising speed. But alas, we had to fit in this shitty drawing of a helicopter. The other thing we had to fit in was an explanation of the bike column. Quote, cost of equipping any motorcycle with matching speed. So what this note says is, the motorcycle column is for motorcycles. Well, I'm fucking relieved that they cleared that up. They have similar notes for sport, the price of engines for sports cars, car slash truck, the cost for cars and trucks, semi, the cost of speed for semis, heli, the cost of speed for helicopters, plane, the cost of speed for planes, and jet, the cost of speed for jets. You know what's conspicuously absent from these notes? It's the final column, hovercraft. Remember the fucking mysterious hover vehicle from the previous page? The only one that we didn't know what it was? No note explaining it. Somewhere a game designer thought that I needed to have explained to me what a sports car is, but that I already knew what a flying hover platform was. And that man seriously misunderstood me. In keeping with the trend of sophisticated and subtle absurdity on this page, I'm going to identify the dumbest thing as the juxtaposition between the final two notes. The second to last note is scramjet, and I quote, this high-speed hydrogen-powered jet engine is only available as an add-on to other aircraft. The scramjet cannot operate at speeds less than Mach 2. Therefore, any aircraft with the scramjet add-on must already be speed class 30 or better. The details on this appear on the next page, but what it comes down to is this. Scramjets can only operate at Mach 2 or better, but they are less expensive as a method of propulsion at that speed than the other competing methods to travel at that speed. So it is cheaper and more efficient to buy yourself one method of propulsion up to Mach 2, then add on a scramjet as a separate method of propulsion from Mach 2 upward if you plan on achieving speeds between Mach 4 and Mach 30. Now, this does not even become a relevant issue to talk about until you're dropping about $3.5 million minimum on your vehicle. So this is really just trivia. Like, when you're talking about a vehicle like this, player characters aren't spending their own money on it anyway, and the only difference is price. But it's just this weird little rabbit hole. I mean, I don't know where the designer learned about scramjets, but obviously he thought it was really cool, and so he decided to do this little tangent, and in fact, fill up a whole column of one of these tables with separate scramjet information. But realism is just that important. The integrity of scramjet technology must be maintained. Now that brings us to the following note. Special option. The designer can fit an automobile or truck with hover capabilities. So after this excruciating detail on how scramjets work and how they can be applied, you get a second option, which is to just make a fucking flying car, like the DeLorean from Back to the Future. You just spend $1 million to give your car a hover conversion at the local hover shop, and then buy it some hover speed from the mysterious column of wonder, the hovercraft speed column. Now I know what you're asking yourself. If I want to do some high Mach dogfighting in my car, can I get myself a hover propulsion system to get myself up to Mach 2, then buy a scramjet to get up above Mach 2 more efficiently? And the answer is, of course, no. Don't be ridiculous. You would need to get your flying car up to Mach 2 for that, and everybody knows that realistically you can only get a flying car up to Mach 1 using hover tech. I mean, use your fucking head. In the left-hand column, this page refers us to a table that will be vital for our use of the speed rules that are really the focus of this entire section. That table is absent from the game. On the right side of the page, where it should go, we have, number one, a pedantic and useless description of exactly what you can do with scramjet propulsion, followed by, two, a note informing us that trucks can now fly. This perplexing triangle is the dumbest thing on this page. Join me next time when we go cosmic on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big chunk for your binging convenience. Contact or check out the podcast wherever you want. It is Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Ninjas and Super Spies, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Ciambietta. This slightly annoying theme song is Cartoon Battle by Kevin MacLeod, whose work you can find at Incompetech.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.